But what did you talk about? What were some of the topics that came up as you thought about problems and challenges associated with this current situation in our country, with many being here legally, but a good number of people being here illegally?
We're talking about how it's hard to assimilate when you can't speak, when you don't speak the language of the country that you're going into.
So the language barrier is a real issue. Mm-hmm. Yep. What else? Yeah, even on their end, how do they ask for help? How do they, I think we were talking a little bit about different work that we've had done on our houses and people who come and do good work, but like literally there's a language barrier and you're trying to communicate with them and they don't speak English very well. Or you think about just legal forms that you have to fill out regularly, things that you have to read and sign and confirm. And if you can't read English, that's why now when I get my medical papers, there's all the other languages with them, right? But I have a friend who works for one of the health insurance companies. His whole job is translating all their stuff, like overseeing the translation of all the materials. Just think about how the work that that creates for all sorts of companies to have to do that work. Yeah. What else? So language, certainly a huge barrier. Yeah. What else? Yeah. Who covers emergency care and government programs? Yeah. Yep. And if they're not here, they're not documented, they're working but not contributing in some sense to these. Yeah.
Just talking about legal immigration, you're here illegally. So then my thought is that was what other things are you willing to do illegally in the country? What are the crimes you're willing to commit?
Yeah.
So there's a potential for that.
Yep. Yeah. If you're willing to break this law by getting in here, does that open the door for you to commit other crimes, to not assimilate, to not be a law-abiding citizen? Yep.
Would you say those that just crossed the border, would you say they're here legally or legally?
Because the former president...
Yep. The president's like, this border's open, you can come in. Is that legal or illegal? Because that's the thing right now. Why are you shipping back people that came here under the permission of the president?
So
they're not legally because he left.
So the question would be, who has the enumerated power to declare how that works?
Right.
I don't know if he has it or if he had it or not. Like, I don't know how that worked. If it's
so
Congress, if it's...
Congress is supposed to write the laws. The president is supposed to enforce the laws.
Yeah.
We have this whole Constitution thing. That's set up so we know who's supposed to write the laws. We know who's supposed to execute the laws. So we know this.
Yeah, but knowing that we have a...
Doesn't mean...
Yes, that's what it should be, right. But knowing that we have a bloated administrative executive state, you know, I don't know which executive three-letter organization oversees the border and so forth, so... Okay.
And that was their way to get in.
Possibly. Yep. People have always died trying to get here. Mm-hmm. That's a reality. People die trying to get here. We talked about this and think about the Sojourner's quote, "Migration is not necessarily a guaranteed right. It could be a possibility, could be an opportunity. It creates an underclass of society. People who are not protected by law, they're easy to exploit. They can do harm or wrong. They cannot be penalized. There's little incentive for them to integrate in. They're not paying taxes. I heard somebody say suspicion. Like, you meet somebody who's of a different ethnicity, and are you legal or are you illegal? Like, that question is raised in our minds as we're interacting with them. So let's think about immigration policy, and maybe we'll be able to wrap this up today. I don't know. We'll see. So Wayne Grudem suggests 4 steps for reforming our immigration policy. Again, he's writing back in 2010 is when that was published. This is before the last 15 years when this has been at the forefront of our political and cultural mind. Here's a step one, close the borders. 99% of illegal immigrants come across the Mexican border. What Grudem is saying is stop the problem of the influx of people coming in before you can deal with how do you relate to the people who are already here. You know, if you've got a leaking faucet, water running in the house, you figure out how to turn the water off, and then you deal with the damage of the water and you address it. That's the idea. Now, he's saying many have good motives. We're assuming the best here for many who want to come. It's still unjust for them to come illegally, even if they want to come for right reasons, compared to those who would come through the legal immigration process. So a border fence or wall and police forces, they will keep out criminals, terrorists, those who might be bringing diseases, who need health care before they would be ready to come into the country. It stops the influx problem to address the internal problem. Now this was, Grudem is writing this, and he says, a double-sided fence with high-tech monitoring and patrol road covering the 1,951 miles between the U.S. and Mexico could be built in, he says, months. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not an engineer. Some of you are shaking your head. Maybe you've looked at it. It could be built in months. Like, we could solve this problem in months. We have lots of money. We could do this. We have the info, you know. So a sovereign nation should determine and know who it lets in versus who it keeps out. Close the borders. That's step one. Step two, reform the out-of-control immigration system. So who has heard of chain migration? Anybody heard of chain migration? So I mentioned that some immigration policy changed in 1965, and that happened with the Hart-Celler Act of 1965. So before then, the U.S. had more control over immigration, who was coming in. They would let those in who were genuinely, clearly wanting to be benefiting, contributing, positive members of American society. And you could come in if you were a worker, if you were married, and you had kids. That's who could come in with you. The Hart-Celler Act allowed U.S. citizens to sponsor siblings as well as their parents from other countries. So let's think through the example. What was also in the books is if you were born here, you were a citizen. So let's say you're from Mexico, and your parents, and you come across the border. And while you're across the border here in America, you give birth to a child. So you have a mom and a dad. I'm drawing my family tree wrong. You guys know what it is.
I wish I could see this one.
Okay. Person. So you have, this is how it's drawn. You know it. Mom, dad. Has a baby across the border. This person's now a U.S. citizen. This person's turns 21. Mom and dad went back to Mexico, and they had 7 other kids. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 7 other kids. This is the American citizen. Yay, USA. I'm going to try to draw my... They're going USA, right? They turn 21. Guess who they can sponsor? Mom and dad. All of their 7 siblings. Well, guess what? Well, they were waiting to grow up to be 21, and now they're over that age. This sibling got married and had kids. This sibling got married and had kids. This sibling got married and had this kid had married, had kids. This married kids, married kids, married kids. And now they all get sponsored. And they get to come in. Now, there's still a process. We're not assuming necessarily that everybody gets legal immigration. But do you see how one person becoming a citizen chain migration, exponential growth of immigration, this is a problem.
You were saying too that like the parents are older, so they come across and then they get on Medicare, and so they pick up the benefits without ever.
They never contributed. We haven't gotten to taxes yet. We're going to get there.
Yay.
And why? Yeah, I won't get started.
Not today.
There's no limit or cap on this chain migration, as far as I know. So no surprise, immigration has soared. 1950s, it was 2.1 million. 1970s, 4.2. 1980s, 6.2. 1990s, 9.7 million. So the United States doesn't have effective control over the number of immigrants that come into the country or the qualifications that it can expect from immigration. So you can think about it. This individual might be a law-abiding U.S. citizen contributing well to America. They're a citizen. They're contributing. That doesn't mean that any of their siblings are. Doesn't mean any of their siblings are qualified. They've got education or skills to come and work. Now, I think you could respond and say not all native-born American children are responsible and contributing members of society. We know that as well. We should be able to agree to that as Christians who know sinfulness of man, right? We hope that all of our children will grow up to be that, but that does not always happen. So Mark Levin comments, no society can withstand the unconditional mass migration of aliens from every corner of the earth. Now notice that pre-1965, the qualification for entry was that you qualified to enter here, into this nation, because you were going to contribute something to the welfare of your neighbors and this country. Now the qualification is, are you related to a U.S. citizen? Now you're pitting two virtues against each other.
Right. Why is it a virtue to be related to a U.S. citizen?
Well, the virtue is family, keeping families together, family connections.
Okay.
That's a virtue. The other virtue is you're a contributing member of a society who's law-abiding, right? These are two values that are being pit against each other. We might say they should be weighed, or maybe they need to both be realities. Well, maybe you can propose that your siblings come, but they need to meet other qualifications. They need to be able to speak English. They need to have education. They need to show that they're gonna. That here's their business plan. Are they willing to pay into, you know, so that they can get certain social programs and so forth? Again, that whole conversation. Decide of whether we should do that or not. So as we think about reforming the out-of-control immigration system, we certainly want to reform immigration qualifications. There's an influx of illegal immigrants, people who are unskilled, who are not going to contribute. They're going to pull on social programs. And we want to welcome more who are skilled as scientists and researchers and medical professionals and tech and business entrepreneurs and small business owners. Now, some would argue that some of our agriculture system does depend upon migrant workers. And so we should be considering, hey, some will come here because they want to do those labor jobs. Some might say maybe some Americans should do those labor jobs. We also need to...
provisions for those labor jobs to be filled by people that are temporarily in the country.
Yeah. We also want to reform education. So we want to educate children about the ideas, the morals, and the values that have been good in American society. If we stopped tearing down our country and our history, and we're such an awful people, you think about that narrative that's told versus a narrative of, here's what's good. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, here's where we need to grow, where we need to repent and change. We could say that as Christians. But here's what's been good that was baked into the culture of our society. Further with and that's for American citizens, as well as those who would be coming here and have children. But we want to require immigrants to learn English. Okay, now this was Grudem writing in 2010, right? 307 million population. 55 million, that's 20%, who speak some other language than English at home. One out of five people not speaking the primary language at home. Now it's 34 plus million, or 41%, who speak Spanish at home, of those who are immigrants. The lingua franca of the world is English. This is what people use. If you're in Europe, people use English to speak with each other. If you're in Africa, people use English. If you're in Asia, people use English. Not because English is some great language. Trust me, having studied multiple languages and speaking others, like, it's a pain. There are hard things about it. I'm watching my kids, and you know, those of you who are schooling your kids, like, English is not the easiest language. But it's the language that the world uses to communicate with each other, to do business, to do foreign relationships. They use English. So this is not even serving them well if they're going to come here and not learn English. We're not serving them well. We're not helping them to assimilate and succeed. If we cared about them, we would actually want to train them in English. And I think you look at the lesson of Babel, which is that different languages does what? Separates people. It does not unite people. If we wish to be a united nation with a shared nationality, we must unite around many things, one of which is language. So we want to reform the immigration. Whoa, I see I have things written here. Stop. Let me make sure I get you guys there. So stop chain migration. Reform immigration qualifications for entrance. And then reform the immigration process. And I don't have as much to say about that, but the process needs to be reformed. I think we're all familiar with that. Step three is enforce tighter regulations on employers regarding illegal immigrants. So without regulations, employers can do what to their illegal immigrant employees?
Exploit them.
Yeah, they can take advantage of them. We do want to treat people humanely. They are image bearers of God. So employment of legal immigrants serves as an incentive then for others to come illegally as well. Oh, you came illegally. You didn't have to go through all the paperwork and the red tape. And you got a job? Sign me up. Others want to come. And Grudem shares a story of how they had employed somebody who was doing good work for them, and then they discovered that they were an illegal immigrant. And they had to have the hard conversation of letting that person go from the work and encouraging them that the right thing would be to enter the legal immigration process. All right. Step four, address illegal immigrants who are already here. So what do we do with the illegal immigrants who are already here? Well, here's the first thing. Deport known criminals. Deport them. Get them out. In 2010, there were some 450,000 known criminals with deportation orders, but they could not be apprehended to be removed. So 450,000 people known to have committed criminal crimes, and they couldn't be kicked out, put out, whatever verb you want to use.
How do you know they're criminals if you've never had control of them?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's probably ways that, you know, they were caught committing the crime, and you know, maybe released on bail, but then you can't track them down because you don't know their place of residence and their, you know, all that stuff. Okay, we also want, if we were to require temporary registration of immigrants, so like a temporary registration card, so that they might receive services or interact with various government facilities and the healthcare system, school system, work. So not immediate deportation, It would allow them to engage with certain benefits like medical care, children going to school, working at a job. And they could enter then the process, so they're registered, they're going to enter the process of seeking full U.S. citizenship or permanent residency, a green card, a removal from the country after a set period. Again, get registered, here's your options. Start the process to become a citizen, you get permanent residency, or you're on a plan for leaving the country. Like, those are your options. But to continue to be here illegally and unknown and undocumented, that's not an option. There's conditions and circumstances on those options. Okay, another one is create difficult but passable path to full citizenship. Okay, here's a hard reality. Not hard reality, but you broke the law. You came here illegally. You're going to have to pay fines. You broke the law. There'll be fines for that. You've been here working. We're going to figure out how you back pay taxes. There's going to be an English test. There's a standard you're going to have to pass. We'll help to provide the training and education for you. Again, this is a good thing if you can speak English. But you have to pass a certain level of proficiency to be able to communicate. You're going to have to swear allegiance to the United States of America. You're going to have to go through an education process where you learn the values of the American peoples, society, and culture. You're going to have to show a record of skills, gainful employment that contributes something to society. And you're going to have to pass a background check. I mean, these things are not absurd. These are reasonable things to think through and expect. How do we put them into place and effect? That's for those who don't have my job to figure out. But here's the objection. Foreign workers will take away jobs from Americans. How do you respond to that? They're already doing it. Is the number of jobs always static?
No.
Jobs are always in flux. And the very fact is that when you tend to have skilled workers, they create new jobs, new fields. So I don't think we need to be worried about others taking jobs. Other products, other goods, other services increase the benefits, the blessings to society. Okay. There was the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, and under Reagan, this allowed a one-time amnesty for 3 million immigrants to come in. That gives hope to others that this might happen again. Well, if I come here illegally, maybe someday in the future, the president's going to give me amnesty as well. So why go through the process that often takes like 10 years to become a citizen if someday they'll just give me amnesty and I get to come in? We'll stop there. This is ending our discussion on immigration. We've looked at a lot of what the scripture has to say on it. We've thought about the current state in America. If you want to talk with the people at your table, what's the responsibility of the American church? How should we as Christians relate to immigrants? You guys can talk about that. And then next Sunday, Lord willing, we will talk about Israel when it comes to foreign policy and how we grapple with that as Christians. So Lord willing, we'll talk about that. And then as some people are talking about, we will get to taxes in the near future, just in time for tax season. So we'll get that all figured out. So, all right. Thanks, guys.